Anybody that listens to this program knows that I enjoy spending time outdoors, hunting, fishing, hiking, biking, canoeing, anything. And, of course, 2020, with all of the restrictions of the pandemic and the social distancing, well, that meant a lot more people got outdoors. In fact, more hunting licenses were sold, more fishing licenses were sold than in recent years, and it was a big uptick in getting people involved in the outdoors, which I think is great news, by the way. I think it's very good news. Because I think a lot of young people certainly would benefit from setting down the device and picking up a fishing rod, for example. My next guest, Chad Stewart, is a deer, elk, and moose management specialist for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. The hunting seasons get debated in the off season. That's now. And then changes are implemented going forward. Chad, first of all, thank you for being here. Hope you've been well.
I have been, Steve. Hope you're as well as also.
As well as can be expected, yes, sir. All right, so this is the time of year that you guys go through. You take input from people that hunt and fish. You look at the regulations. What should the bag limit be? How long should the seasons be? All of these sorts of things. So for the folks in Michigan that want to hunt this year, when it comes to deer, elk, moose, the things that you specialize in, what do we need to know? Any big changes? Anything that has changed that I need to be aware of?
Well, the big one, Steve, obviously, of those three species that you mentioned is deer. That's the one where we have over a 500,000 hunters here in Michigan participate every year. And there's, I guess, two fairly reasonably sized changes moving forward for this year. One is how our antlerless licenses are structured. You know, in the past, as you recall, a lot of times you put in for a lottery in a lot of places, whether it's public or private land, depending on the management unit. Some places there's plenty available and you can just buy them over the counter. But each antlerless license was specific to either a public or private land property within a deer management unit. This year we've opened it up quite a bit and we're basically selling one antlerless license. We call it our universal antlerless license, and it allows hunters to move around from management unit to management unit, from public to private property to participate in hunting. And we hope that that helps stimulate both antlerless harvest and just sort of the camaraderie of hunting in general. You know, whether you're hunting down in Ingham County and you've got friends or family up north and want to go up there and they offer to allow you to participate in antlerless season, you don't have to necessarily buy another antlerless license. You can just take your own license that you already have and go up there and participate. And we hope that that provides a lot more stimulation in the antlerless harvest and participation overall.
Well, and so you have one, you get one tag, travel anywhere you want. As long as you've got access, you can fill one antlerless tag. But antlerless tags in general, you can get a lot of them if you have private land, for sure. I mean, there's some places, I mean, I don't know what it was, but you could get a tag a day every day in some places for a while. I don't know where that is now. I mean, I shot five antlerless deer last year myself, legally, of course, and I could have bought more, but at some point, you know, the freezer's overstuffed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've looked at, that data, in moving forward with this. You know, the first response from many of those people that think we might be over harvesting deer is, you know, by allowing people just to kind of go from management unit to management unit, from property to property. We know that only about 40% of Michigan hunters purchase an antlerless license to begin with. Only about 22% are successful in taking one antlerless deer. Only 5% are successful in taking two or more. So we know that hunters just sort of naturally limit themselves. And our overall antlerless harvest is down probably about 70 to 90,000 deer compared to the early 2000s. So, you know, in order to keep up with their reproductive capacity and our declining hunter numbers, we feel that our licenses have to have a lot more flexibility in how they're used. And we feel like this is a good way moving forward, given the current circumstances with our management program.
So let's talk, I mean, the other big conversation that you and I have had in the past about CWD, chronic wasting disease. It started in Ingham County, but the last time we chatted, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you said there hadn't been a case in Ingham County in 5 years. Pretty remarkable.
It is remarkable, and that trend still holds true. We still have not identified a positive year in Ingham County since, I think it's probably about 2000 and either 15 or 16. So in one way, it really sort of shows you that if you're lucky enough to find CWD and can act, you know, aggressively and swiftly in trying to eliminate those positive animals on the landscape, you have a really good chance of, you know, I don't want to say we've eradicated CWD in Ingham County, but certainly we've dropped it down to the point where we can no longer detect it.
Right. Let me ask you something else to elk, because the state of Kentucky now, very popular, and I've been putting in for several years now to try to pull a Kentucky elk tag because they have something like 20,000 elk running wild in Kentucky. Why does Michigan always keep the number so low? Kentucky has a number of elk. Pennsylvania now has a growing herd. Other states in our general region have bigger elk herds. We keep ours very small. And I guess the question is why? It would seem to me if the herd was allowed to expand, we'd have more opportunities for tourism dollars and hunting dollars and everything else. And I guess I don't understand the thinking there. Maybe you can help me.
Well, you know, I guess I'd push back on you a little bit on that. Michigan right now, we kind of flip-flop back and forth depending on the year with Pennsylvania, but we have the second largest elk herd east of the Mississippi. We're way behind Kentucky, obviously. Kentucky's at another order of magnitude. But, you know, for an eastern state or, you know, midwestern or eastern state, we actually have a fairly large elk herd. It's about 1,200 individuals. Right now, we're managing according to our management plan, and right now our management plan says that we should not have more than 900 elk on our landscape, and we've been following that. That's a guidance. Now, our management plan is up for review for elk next year, and I think that's a number that we're going to revisit because certainly all your points are valid. You know, if we have more elk, we have more tourism, we have more licenses that are coming in, et cetera. With that, there's also a lot more other problems, whether it's vehicle collisions, agricultural damage, et cetera. So we have to try to balance the good with the bad.
I guess, and that's fair, and I appreciate that. I'd like to see it right here in Ingham County. That's just my personal desire. I don't think the farmers would agree with me, but you know, it's just the way I am. Anyhow, I've always wondered about that. Any other big challenges? You see, we got about 40 seconds here, Chad. I'll give you the last word. Any other challenges? Do you hope that the numbers remain high as far as hunter participation numbers? Because I know they increased in 2020. What do you see ahead?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the early license pools right now shows that we're sort of continuing the momentum from last year with increased license buying and hopefully hunter participation, at least for our early turkey season. So we hope that that momentum continues for deer season. Last year, we were up about 5% in terms of our overall hunter numbers. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but considering that we typically decline 4 to 5% every year, that's a big shift. So we're hoping to continue that momentum, and the early signs are very encouraging.
Excellent. Chad Stewart, always a pleasure. Always appreciate hearing from you and what's going on at the DNR. Thank you so much. And I think there's a big retirement coming up. From Al Stewart, if I'm not mistaken. Thought I'd throw that out there.
Al Stewart, our longtime upland and game bird biologist, just recently retired on March 31st. He was with the department for almost 50 years.
Yeah.
So it's,
very successful.
It's a legend is gone.
Yeah, Al Stewart. He's the guy that brought wild turkeys back to Michigan in large part. Greatly appreciate it, Chad. Thank you so much. Quick break here on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over a million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
advisor.
Hey, parents, do kids think you're out of touch because of the way you dress?
Yes.
Well, say hello to Instant Style with Fashion On. Just spray Fashion On whatever you're wearing and look cool in an instant. Turn orthopedic shoes into vintage high tops, pleated khakis into skinny jeans. Even clip-on ties become fly gold chains. Just spray, let it dry, and presto.
What about my fanny pack?
You mean your hip MP3 player?
Wow.
What about my bifocals?
You mean your hot pink shutter shades?
Hey, I can't see.
But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion.
Thanks, Fashion On.
Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.